Before we get started this morning, I want to give you a visual image to think about. Here's my conviction. You can begin this brand new year, 2025, I guess emulating one of two characters. A little cartoon that we grew up on. How many of you remember Winnie the Pooh? And you can either enter 2025 like Eeyore. Anybody know Eeyore? Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. And I know people that enter years like that, they're like, what's 25 got in store for me? Or we can enter 2025 like my favorite character, Tigger. You know that guy? Can't quite do it like he does it, but I just really feel like that's kind of our approach for 2025. And let me just tell you that that's where I'm at today and have been since the beginning of the new year. I was contacted this week by a gentleman that came to church here for a while he was in school. He's now on the East Coast. He said, "Hey, Shane, I'm in town until Friday. My mom really wants to be baptized. She wants you to do it. Is there any way that you can do it before I go home on Friday?" And I was like, let me think on it of when to do it. And so I decided, you know what? What a great opportunity to just do it on the first of the year. Never done it in 22 years on January 1. And so I thought, you know what? This could be fun. So I just kind of put the little message out there on Facebook. Hey, if you want to get baptized, it's a great opportunity to just start a new year just on the right foot. And so we were baptized four individuals January 1st. And it was a little different than it would be here. And I encourage it in front of the fellowship, but it was absolutely a public profession of faith. And I'm telling you, it was super, super special. And so I would like to just honor those who were baptized on this last week, on the 1st today, as well as celebrate them. That's good stuff, right? So that is why I'm Tigger today. That was a great way to start off here. And I hope that is a foretaste of what God is going to do in 2025 at Living Water. And so let me just extend an invitation for those of you who are like, man, I've not been baptized yet. I've been on the fence. I need to take that step. It's still a new year. And what a great time to do that at the beginning of a year. And so if you want to be baptized, you've not yet done that, please reach out to me after service. Reach out to us on Facebook or send a message in the Tide box at the back there. We would love to be able to do that for you. I would love to be able to just see many people who are taking that step, publicly professing their faith, because it is a good thing to celebrate. And God is good. Amen? Happy New Year. I'm glad you're here. 2024 was good for a lot of people. Some people are glad it's gone, but 25 is here, and it's going to be what we make of it. So I'm going to have you to turn with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, the message title today is Pursue. And I want to talk to you for a few moments about pursuit. That is, to pursue these goals. This is a new year, and we make these resolutions. And so what a great opportunity for us to just kind of pump the brakes, focus a little bit on this, and just hear what God's word has to say for us today. And I'll just tell you, the power is not in Shane's words. I'm just a vessel. But the power is in God's word. God's word is powerful. Amen? And so I pray that you would lend me your heart and your ears this morning as we look into God's word and we just consider what it looks like to pursue something that is worthy of pursuing. So Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 12 through the first verse of chapter 4. Let's read this together. The Apostle Paul says, "I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress we've already made. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I've told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows that they are really enemies of the cross. They're headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work. Would you pray with me one more time? Father, we thank you for your word. This is your word. Pray that you would just give us receptive hearts today to receive the truth of your word. Give us ears to hear what you might want to communicate through the scriptures to us today. Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We ask that you would just be glorified in our time gathered here today. And I humbly ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's talk about pursuit for a few moments. You know, this is the start of a new year. And for many, it's an opportunity to just push the pause button, to pump the brakes, and just evaluate life and maybe set a few New Year's resolutions. Perhaps some of you have already done that. You've set these resolutions or these goals to maybe lose a little weight or to spend a little less money or maybe even just to grow deeper in your faith. And that is a time of the year that we do this. And New Year's resolutions is about identifying something that's of worth to you, something that has value, and then pursuing that and committing ourselves to the journey. That's what a New Year's resolution is, just finding something that we value and chasing after. Think about it. How many gym memberships go up in January? I know people who say, like, they've had membership for years. I'm not going to the gym on January because everybody and their dog is going to join January 1. I'll just wait till February 1st. It'll be empty again, right? Why is that? Because pursuit is hard. Amen? It's one thing to have the resolution, but the pursuit is a whole other thing. And so it takes focus, effort, determination to keep moving forward when challenging times come. And challenging times come all of the time. But when you truly value that goal, we press on. We push forward. We pursue that goal. In this passage of scripture that we're looking at today, the Apostle Paul gives us what I believe is a beautiful picture of a holy pursuit. The Apostle Paul, he said, hey, listen, I'm not there yet, but I want you to know I'm pursuing it with everything I've got. I'm pursuing this goal to know Christ on a deeper level. He was deeply committed to a life of relentless pursuit towards being more like Christ. And I just think this is a great time for us as we step into this new year to evaluate what it is that we pursue. What pursuits are we focused on this year? And can I just tell you, above all, that we are invited, all of us are invited, and to pursue the ultimate goal. The invitation is there for us to know Christ on a deeper level, to know him better, to become more like him, and to live in the hope of eternity with him. And this pursuit requires just a little more than a good intention. You know, it has been said that a resolution without pursuit is just a wish. And there are a lot of people that wish for a lot of great things, but I hope that we understand, and maybe we'll adopt this one word as a theme for 2025 in our own lives, pursuit. Because it's not about the wish or the resolution, it's about the pursuit of that which we value that is important, and that's what Paul demonstrates for us today. And so it's going to demand our focus, our discipline, and an unwavering commitment to follow through. And so can I ask you a question? What are you pursuing this year? What are you pursuing in 2025? And what would it look like for you to pursue Christ with the same energy, focus, and passion that we often give to these earthly resolutions? What would it look like if we pursued him with that same intensity? So let's resolve in a brand new year, not to just write down our resolutions, but to live it out. Let's press on together as the Apostle Paul encourages us toward the ultimate prize. And so what can we learn from the Apostle Paul about pursuit? The first thing I want us to understand in verse 12, Paul says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things. What the Apostle Paul is saying, I'm not there yet. And I think that's the first lesson that each one of us as followers of Christ can get is to acknowledge that we're not there yet. To acknowledge that we have not yet inherited perfection. There's no perfect people in the room. And this is important because I think some people sometimes will think, well, all I have to do is say a prayer. All I have to do is join a church. All I have to do is be baptized. And well, I'm saying that we're saved by grace through faith, but I want you to know there's so much more that comes with that decision to follow after Christ. It's a journey. And that journey begins when we place our faith in the gospel. And so for many people, they think, well, I've done everything I need to do. And they just kind of sit back and just chill and relax, waiting for Jesus to return. And so Paul wants to make it clear up front. He's like, hey, listen, I have not reached or achieved perfection yet. What does he mean when he says, I've not reached these things? If you want to look back, what he says is, I want to gain Christ and become one with him. Like, he was so passionate because Christ found him 30 years earlier on the road to Damascus and took hold of Paul, if you will. And he says, I got the same mentality. I want to chase after Jesus so that I might catch a hold of him. And that's my goal, is I want to be like Christ and be one with him. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. He says, I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Paul's saying, I want to pursue Christ. I want to chase after Christ, and I'm not there yet. So I think for most of us in a brand new year is just to understand we're not there yet. There are no perfect people. There are no people who says, I've done everything, and I can just sit back and relax. We are not home yet. That's the first thing that we learn from the Apostle Paul. But he says this, but I press on. I have not reached perfection yet. I've not reached this goal yet, but I press on. The word in the Greek is diokos, and it is used to translate chasing after something, to pursue something, to hunt something. But the idea is that we might obtain it. And Paul's saying, like, I'm not just running to be running, but I'm chasing after something that I might be able to just grab a hold, latch a hold of it. He's like, I've not reached perfection, but I'm chasing it with an intensity. I'm pressing on. I'm pursuing these things. And so he shows us what this pursuit looks like. He says, no, in verse 13, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. And I think this is one little nugget that every one of us need to remind ourselves of all the time. The Apostle Paul says, in order to pursue effectively this that I'm chasing after, I've got to focus on this one thing. And he says, I got to forget the past. I got to spend more time focusing forward and not focusing on what's behind me. How many of you know you can't change the past? No matter how much you wish it, no matter how hard you try, you can't go undo the past. There's a reason that the rearview mirror is small and the windshield is big. It's because we're focusing in the future going forward. We need big vision. That's where our focus is at. Amen? Or as the great theologian from Oklahoma said, he actually sang, there ain't no future in the past. That's Vince Gill, y'all. And he's not a theologian, but I just thought I would take that opportunity to plug one of the Okies. Anyways, Paul says, listen, I focus on this one thing. I forget the past. Now that could be good and that could be bad because many of us have these things in our past, regrets, shame, guilt. Paul says, if you're going to move forward, if you're going to pursue this target that's worthy of pursuing, you got to forget the past. You can't live and you can't dwell in the past. You got to forget the past. You got to move forward. But in Paul's case, it also means forgetting the victories. I've met people in the past who are solid Christians, but they always talk about what God did 10 years ago, 15 years ago. They're living on past victories. And I'm like, what did he do for you yesterday? What's he doing for you today? Listen to what the Apostle Paul says when he's talking about all these things that he's accomplished that were valuable to him at one time. He says, I'm forgetting those things. In verse 5, he says, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted. Fun fact for you, that word persecuted is the same dioko, which means to pursue. There's a contrast. He said, I persecuted the church. I chased after them so that I might latch a hold of them and persecute them because of their faith. He said, I zealously and harshly pursued the church. As for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. Listen to what he says. I once thought these things were valuable. I once thought these things had merit, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. He says, for his sake, I have discarded everything else. So Paul's saying, hey, listen, the one thing I'm doing is I'm forgetting the past. And by forgetting the past, I'm not even focusing on the things that I used to think were of value. I consider them rubbish or garbage compared to what Christ has done for me. I think that's great counsel for you and me today. Amen? It's like if we're going to pursue this pursuit that is worthy of pursuing, of being more like Christ, then we have to acknowledge that we're not there yet. And we have to focus on forgetting the past and straining toward looking forward to the future. So what does that look like for you and me? Maybe for some of us, it's like, you know what? I'm going to choose today to forget the past, and I'm going to focus forward. And for some, it may mean, you know, I need to just step up my prayer life. How many of you know that'd be a worthy goal in and of itself? It's just to get to communicate with the author, the protector of our faith, to spend some time just in dialogue with the Heavenly Father. That would be a great thing for us to commit to in a new year. It's like, you know what? I want to focus forward, and I want to begin that by spending a little more time in prayer. Maybe it's reading the Bible. Many people start a new year with a Bible app. My wife and I did. We did it the last couple of years. Just a great way to stay on track and just get a daily dose of God's Word. Maybe for some, it's like, you know what? I need to forget the past hurt, and I need to reconcile the relationship going forward because it's what God wants me to do. And yet for others, maybe it's just stepping into a role of service. God has gifted each one of us with certain abilities and gifts and talents, and maybe for us to forget the past and to move forward, to focus forward, to press on toward the goal is to just step into that role of service that God has equipped each one of us in some way to do. So Paul tells us he's not there yet, but he is pressing on. He is chasing, he's pursuing that by forgetting the past, focusing on the future. Notice also what he teaches us in verse 15. We need to embrace this idea of maturity. We need to understand that this is something that's important to God. We need to understand that it's important in our walk with Christ, that it's not about just saying a prayer or being baptized or joining a church, but there's this goal of growing in our faith. And if you ever wonder, what is God's will for me? I can tell you with 100% confidence, he says, it is the Lord's will that you be sanctified. You know what sanctified is? Spiritual growth. And so if you ever want to know what God's will is for your life, I promise you, he is for you on this, and he will be 100% lockstep with you. Like, God, I want to pursue you. I want to grow in my faith. He's like, great, because that's what I want. And when you're praying and according to my will, guess what's going to happen, y'all? You might just grow a little bit in your faith. And so we need to embrace maturity. He says, let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. These things, the past that he just talked about, is growing in our knowledge, forgetting the past, focusing on the future, and growing in our faith. He said, if you're spiritually mature, you're going to agree that these things are important. You're going to embrace this maturity. He says, and if you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress that we've already made. What he's saying is we must be, in our faith, we must be consistent. Consistency is key, amen? Like we begin this journey of faith, and you know, for some, they kind of sputter here and there. They take some time off. But what Paul's saying is like we need to not give up ground. We're making progress, and you consider a race. We're not to turn around and run the other direction. We hold on to the progress that we've already made. We don't go backwards. We live consistently. So live up to what he's already has already been attained in Christ, maintaining faith and obedience. That was a big one as well, Paul says. That's what it looks like. It's to embrace maturity, to understand it's God's will for us. It is the goal of the Christian walk is to grow in that faith and the maturity and to be consistent, not giving up ground, what we've already gained, but to stay faithful. Now look at verse 17. Here's another thing that we learn about pursuit that Paul teaches us. And this is a big one for me. I've seen God use this over and over, and I see him using it even today. And if we're going to pursue this goal of growing in our faith, you know, making room for this that is so valuable in our lives, then it is helpful for us when we follow godly examples. That's what he says. Follow godly examples. Hey, acknowledge that you're not there yet. Pursue it with an intensity. Forget the past. Focus on the future. Embrace this maturity. Hold on to the gains. Stay consistent. But then find somebody in your life that's living a Christ-centered life and follow their example. The Apostle Paul puts it this way, dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine. What he's saying is copy me. You're watching me. You're hearing me talk. You're watching how I handle situations. Paul's saying, just pattern your life after me. Copy me. Follow my example. Not only does it say to follow Paul's example, he says, and learn from those who follow our example. And so we've been blessed in life. I don't know if you've seen this, but I know in my faith early on, I would look at people who seemed to be further down the road in their journey of faith than I was. And maybe they got a few years behind them too, so there's this wisdom. And I've leaned on them early on in life, like, I just need to learn from them. I think I could benefit from the wisdom that they have. And so I would just kind of latch on to them early in my faith and say, I want to follow their example because apparently they got it figured out in the area of marriage, in the area of finance, whatever it may be. I want to follow their example. I've seen it in this church. I see it recently in this church with and something that I'm so passionate about, and I think it would be great to see, is if a younger generation would look to an older generation and say, hey, you know, I've identified the need for me to grow in my faith, and I've been watching you, and I would like for you to consider mentoring me, spend a little time with me. Once a month, let's grab coffee or whatever. I see it happening in this church, and I love it because I think it's a beautiful thing to do. Paul says, follow godly examples. Pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow your example. Listen to what he says in verse 18. For I've told you often before, and I say it again, this time with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows that they're really enemies of the cross of Christ. So Paul's saying, hey, follow godly examples, but beware of the enemies of the cross of Christ. I'm convinced that there are some relationships that need to be kind of separated, especially if you're a parent, you got kids, you know, bad company corrupts good character. And sometimes we can put people around us that are causing us to not focus on the goal and to get us off track. And I think there's a season of necessary endings for us to realize if they're not walking the same journey. Now, I'm not minimizing the discipleship or the evangelism that sometimes we're there to invest in their lives, but if it's causing us to walk further away from Christ, then I think it's time for us to consider. Maybe I just need to beware of those who are considered enemies of the cross. Listen to what Paul says their goal is. Or I should say, their end is. He says they are headed for destruction. Those that are enemies of the cross, they're headed for destruction. Why? Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. They're earthly minded. And so if we're going to pursue Christ, then we need to understand and embrace these godly examples that are around us. And beware of the pitfalls and the enemies of the cross of Christ. Avoid those whose focus is earthly. And I think we do that by being a part of community. We do that by engaging in Christ-centered disciplines, whether it's a Bible study or maybe it's just a one-on-one. I think some of the greatest maturity happens in just those one-on-one conversations involving in or getting engaged in a just church regularly. I need to put myself in an environment that's conducive for my growth. I want to follow godly examples. So what does that look like for you in 2025? What does following a good godly example look like for you? And maybe this year is the year for you to say, I'm going to make that phone call. I'm going to find that mentor. I'm going to find that one person that I can glean from and ask them if we could just grab coffee. I'm just going to spend some time with them and hopefully some of their good habits will rub off on me and they'll encourage me to grow in my faith. For some of you, it may be just like, you know what, I need to get beyond the Sunday morning worship experience. I'm not minimizing that. I think that's very important for us to do that. But I need to establish some deeper relationships, and to do that, I need to engage in a Bible study. So I'm going to plug into the many different Bible studies that we have here at the church, men's, women's, different discipleship programs that we have. And maybe this year is an opportunity for you to join a small group. Or, as I said a moment ago, seeking out a mentor. You know, it's interesting that we've had people that have asked me before, hey, can I meet with you every once in a while? I feel like I could glean. The first reaction usually is me, like, I don't have anything to offer. I don't feel like I'm qualified to mentor you. I've had people who've gone through some stuff in their life, and they can speak to things that I can't even touch because of their experience. And so I think it's an honor when you get somebody to come to you and say, hey, would you consider mentoring me? And then you just take that position of encouraging them and leading by example. I think it's so important. So, Paul says, we focus by forgetting the past, looking forward. We embrace maturity. We follow these godly patterns. We beware, we watch out for the ungodly examples. And next, notice in verse 20, he says, their focus is all earthly. It's just here on the earth. But for us, if we're going to pursue this goal that is worthy of pursuit, I believe that we need to remember our heavenly citizenship. We just need to always have that in the front of our minds, knowing that the things that we do today are like a little ripple effect into eternity. And what we do, we're not doing it for today, but we're doing it with one eye on eternity. That is to be perspective, or to have a heavenly perspective. Amen? How many of you know that this world's not our home? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, this world is not your home. Well, Shane, I do. I have an address. I have a zip code. I have a social security. Yes, you're a citizen of the United States of America, and you may have a physical location. But my friends, if you're a follower of Christ, this world's not your home. And why would you put so much energy and focus and passion in just this little limited time that we have on this earth rather than focusing on that which goes on throughout eternity? I get this illustration. I'm sure you've seen it before. It's obviously not new, but Connor, I'm going to ask you to help me out again, buddy. Just imagine for a moment this rope. It's a 100-foot of rope. But just imagine for a moment that this rope represents eternity. I believe that eternity goes so much farther than 100 feet of rope, amen? It's like eternity. But here's what we know. Many people will spend most of their life. Psalm tells us that God has given us 70 years and some will even live to 80. So on the grand scale of eternity, this is what that looks like. This little small season of time that we get to call life on this earth. And many people will just break their backs to make it happen right here in this season. And they're working hard and they're setting all these goals and they're setting all these things that they want to accomplish and these goals that they pursue. But can I ask you a question? What good is all of that if it's only this limited amount of time? And I'm not saying we don't set goals. I'm not saying it's wrong to have these goals. But to be heavenly minded means that we look at this life with one eye on eternity, and the goals that we make here, we should have that in mind. Like, I'm making goals here because I see the big picture. Amen, church? Amen. We see the big picture. We know that this world is not our home. We're working for eternity. Now, Jesus said, what good would it do a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul for all of eternity? That's why you hear us say the most important decision you can make in this life is what do you do with the gospel? Because what you do with the gospel affects this life for all eternity. Are you hearing me? So thank you, Connor. You can put that up. I appreciate that. So just consider that and have that image in your mind as you consider what we're talking about, pursuing these goals to have a heavenly perspective, to remember our heavenly citizenship, that we're doing this in this life, but our goal is eternity. And so that gives us purpose. Also, notice that he says that we're anticipating transformation. I love this part because it says in verse 21, he will take our weak mortal bodies. Whew. This life's hard, isn't it? Things creep up, health scares, sickness, and we have all these challenges. And one day, Paul talks about living, it's like a tent. A tent is a temporary dwelling place. He says we long for these new bodies. And I love transformations. I love it when somebody sets a goal and they hit that goal. You're like, hey, I wanted to lose 50 pounds and I lost 50 pounds. Great. That's awesome. That's great. But can I tell you there's a transformation coming for those who place their faith in the gospel that we should anticipate and look forward to? Because one of these days, these bodies that are limited, these bodies that are aging, these bodies that are frail, that are weak, that are broken and torn, will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Just think on that for a moment. What a great transformation is going to take place for us one day. He says he will take our weak mortal bodies and he'll change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. Church, we run this race, we get fatigued, we get tired, but we know the rest of the story. We know one day it's all going to be made right and we will be in his presence, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more death, no more hurt, no more pain. That's something worthy of pursuing. Amen? Are you with me, church? I don't feel like you get me, so I might crank it up a little bit on the volume, but I just want to generate some passion in our hearts and some excitement about what we've been called to. And that's the beauty of it, right, is that he said, whosoever, that includes you, that includes me. And so this is a journey that's worthy of pursuing. And Paul says, this is how I'm doing it. I'm not there yet, I admit that, but I press on. I pursue, not just to chase something for the sake of chasing it, but I've got an intention to catch a hold of what it is that I'm. Can you imagine a young guy falling in love with a young lady and he chases her for the rest of his life and never gets to put the ring on her finger? That's not fun. That's to pursue for the sake of pursuing. But Paul's idea is that the pursuit is with the intention of getting a hold of laying hold of something. And that's the focus that we must have as we pursue to be more like Christ in a way that just, that we would obtain it. We embrace the spiritual maturity. We follow the godly examples. We remember our heavenly citizenship. We anticipate the transformation. And lastly, in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, I want you to see the term of endearment there, my dear brothers and sisters. It's obviously, Paul loved the church. Paul loved the people he was writing to, and they knew that. And he essentially is saying to them, don't quit. I think Paul was a sports fan because he uses this imagery. I think he's thinking of the games. And he's in mind, he's thinking of the race that's being run. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he also talks about it. And he says, hey, don't you know that the runners that run in the race, not everyone's going to win. There's one winner, and you and I should run in such a way that we would win the prize. So Paul's using this imagery of a race. He says, we're all in this race. Don't quit. Stay true to the Lord. What he's saying is remain faithful. And here's the thing. Others might fall. Others might stumble. Others might cause you to trip up from time to time. But keep your eyes on the goal. Keep your eyes on the finish line and remain faithful to God. Because I want you to know, church, he's faithful to us. Amen? And I would say in close with this, Paul, knowing that he loved them and he encouraged them, he says, I love you and I long to see you. Dear friends, you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work. I think as we're pursuing this goal of being more like Christ, that we're going to need the encouragement from time to time. We're going to need the unity of love from the people around us. And as I was considering this, I was reminded of a story that's over 3 decades old, but a very inspirational story, a story of a man named Derek Redmond. Derek Redmond was in the 1992 Olympics, and he was favored to win the 400-meter race. Everybody thought he would walk away with gold. At the very least, he would medal. And so, as it would happen, he gets out there, he does his stretches, and he gets ready, gets on the blocks, the gun goes off, he takes off running. 400-meter race, 150 meters into the race, he hears a pop. He feels a pain in his leg. He initially said, I mean, I feel like somebody shot me in the leg, but he realized that his hamstring had torn. And he fell to the ground. Biggest stage of his life, the Olympics. Thousands of fans, millions watching across TV. He lands on the track. His hopes of winning a medal are gone. The race is essentially over by now. And as the people were making their way to him to help him off the track, he makes the decision to stand up. He stands up and he begins to hobble. 250 more meters, the rest of the race. As you can imagine, that got the attention of everybody that were watching, right? And then out of the side of the screen, you can watch this on YouTube, it's pretty inspiring, but this man breaks through kind of the security and those that were kind of in charge of that race, and he pushes them away. You could tell pretty quickly that's his dad. And his dad comes running up to his side. And first, Derek didn't know who it was. He was about to push him away, and he realized it was his dad, and he just loses it. He's crying on his shoulder. His dad puts his arm around him. And together, one painful step at a time, they crossed the finish line. His dad said a couple things there. Son, you don't have anything to prove. What are you doing? You don't have to do this. And Derek just said, help me get back into lane 5. And together they walked across the finish line. And here's the part that was inspiring to me. Standing ovation, thousands of people cheering as though he won the gold. I think it's because we resonate with stories like that, don't we? Stories of perseverance, stories of courage, stories of people who most people would have given up. Hey, I gave it my best. I tried, and I got this injury. But to see someone like Derek get up and keep finishing the race, the pursuit was worth it to him. He's like, I've got to finish this race. And I say that story to say this. There are many people who begin this race of faith, and they're doing good, and something happened along the way. You get injured. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was a spouse. Maybe it was a church. Maybe it was a pastor. And you were deeply wounded. All of a sudden, the race that you were running, you find yourself on the floor. I hope that you will use this illustration of Derek and his picture of courage as inspiration to get back up and to keep running the race, to persevere, to show courage. It's like, you know what, I'm in this thing, and I've got to see it through, and I'm going to keep on keeping on. That's perseverance. That's what pursuit looks like. That's what Paul shows us. And just like the father steps in out of the stands to embrace his son and help him across the finish line, our heavenly Father is there for us. And he takes us, he embraces us, and he sees us safely home. What a beautiful picture of what I'm trying to explain today of what pursuit looks like. And I was reminded of another thing in that story. It's like, not just the father coming out of the stands to help his son, but I think every one of us probably knows somebody who's wounded in their faith. And maybe they weren't hurt by anybody. Maybe they just got apathetic. Maybe they just got bored. Maybe they just got lazy. And we all know someone like that. And I just wonder if maybe our role is to be like the dad in that video and to come alongside someone and say, hey, listen, I just want to encourage you. Get back up. It's worth it. The pursuit is absolutely worth it. Get up and keep on running. We need each other. We need the encouragement. We need that love. And I just think what a great way for us to start a brand new year, looking at all these potential goals, pursuits that we engage in, considering eternity, and maybe perhaps just evaluating what it is that we are chasing after, what it is that we do pursue in this life. And maybe, hopefully, we're encouraged, inspired to take a step today. It's always a great time, first of the year, to take a step. And so for some of you, maybe that step is, you know what, I need to take that step of faith and place my faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why I say it's the most important decision you make in this life, because it affects all of eternity. For others, maybe it's that step of baptism. There are people who, and I know I need to be baptized, I want to be baptized, I'm just having a hard time making that step. Maybe this is your year. Maybe this is your year to say, Shane, I need to take that step. I want to be baptized. I'm ready to declare my faith in Christ. And if that's you, I would just encourage you to reach out. Let us know. We would love to be able to encourage you in that step and celebrate that step with you. For others, maybe it's just simply to recommit. Hey, let's be honest. Life gets weary. Life gets kind of, sometimes it can be a drag. You just feel like you're just going through the motions, doing the same thing over and over and over again. And for some of us, maybe it's just an opportunity for us to say, God, where am I at? How am I doing in my faith? I need to recommit to running with perseverance, to running with purpose, to running with this pursuit-like mentality that I might catch a hold of what it is that you've got ahead of me. Because I can promise you there is a finish line, and I can promise you that when we cross that finish line, it'll be totally worth it. Amen? So for some, maybe it's simply just recommitting in your faith. Like, God, I just need to, this is a new year, and I need you to just help me to recommit to be the person you've called me to be. And lastly, I would say maybe you're here today, and you're like, you're hurt, you're wounded, and you're like, I just need somebody. I just need somebody. I hope that you'll find the courage to get up and to find that support. Somebody to help you finish the line, go across the finish line. Or maybe you're that person that's going to be the help for someone else. God, how can you use me to help another brother or sister out? How can you use me to be an encouragement and to be an inspiration to those who are making this journey? That's what pursuit is. That's what it looks like. Again, it's not about writing it down, putting it on a piece of paper, but it's the pursuit. That's where the work is at. And it is work, but I can promise you that the work is worth it. And I can promise you that Christ is worthy of the pursuit. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for a new year. I thank you for those little dates on the calendar that from your perspective is nothing. It's a blip on the radar screen of eternity. But to us, it's just opportunities for us to push the pause button, to reflect, to evaluate, and possibly to set some goals. Lord, I'm not speaking against setting earthly goals. I think those are fine. In fact, I do the same. But God, I pray that we would keep one eye on heaven as we do, that we would consider those things that are in front of us, that we would look to you, Lord, for direction as we set these goals, and that we would run the race with perseverance. We'd run the race in such a way that we're not going to be distracted. We're not going to allow anybody to knock us off of our lane. When we fall, when we hurt ourselves, we got the same courage, the same determination and perseverance to stand up and hobble if we have to across the finish line, knowing that one day we'll stand before you. And I long to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Lord, would you help us to run with purpose in our steps in 2025? Would you help us to see those around us that need the encouragement and the love, and that we would be your hands and your feet as we encourage them along in their journey as well. God, thank you that it is a worthy pursuit. Thank you that this is not wishful thinking. This is not something that is just temporary, but it echoes into eternity. And one day we know that this time and this life will be over with, and we will be with you for all eternity. And we'll look back and we'll see the things that we went through and what we, from our perspective here, thought was so difficult, so hard. We'll look back and say, wow, it's totally worth it. Lord, we know that you're the one that is in control. And God, we ask that you would just be glorified in our lives. Encourage us, Lord, to just continue standing firm in the faith. And Lord, we know that we can only do that through your help. So Holy Spirit, would you help us in this endeavor? Help us to take the steps today of application and obedience that you want us to take. Lord, we humbly ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.